morning, everybody. You know, I was telling Lisa a little bit ago, I don't ever get over doing this. I don't ever get past being nervous. And some people think, oh, you never have a nervous bone, ever. Yeah, I do. I have to get up here, do something stupid, stick my foot in my mouth, then I'm over being nervous. I want to do something crazy this morning. Is that okay? That'd be normal for me? Yeah, I know. How many veterans do we have in the house? Stand up, veterans, please. Thank you, all of you. There was a time when, if you served, you came home, you put your stuff up, and you went to work. Nobody said thank you. In fact, they would ridicule you, give you a hard time, maybe be abusive. At work, they asked me to give them feedback so that they could improve their veterans' celebration and honoring us at work. And I was shocked. They'd gone over the top this year. Crazy. I thought they did really well. They want to improve that. It's interesting. It's fun. I got the call to do this morning. And I went through the same thing I always do. I agonize over you guys. I do. The children of God are important. I mean, the children of God. Yeah. What do I talk about? These people that he loves. What is it that you need? Yeah. And I was telling Donna, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she said, why don't you just celebrate? And I said, God sent you to tell me that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate the grace of God. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes your pastor stands up here and he beats you over the head with this. And you don't feel like you celebrated. You feel like you didn't measure up. You feel like, well, you feel like all kinds of crazy things. But this morning I've been called upon to give you a message that I really enjoy giving. One that I think you'll enjoy receiving. So fasten your seatbelts. We're going to go on an exploration. We're going to go on a little journey. So I want you to open your minds, open your hearts, and open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look into ourselves. How many of you have been around little kids? I mean, I've gotten an education lately with grandkids and stuff. Little kids are special, man. They're innocent up to a certain point, and then they start getting obnoxious. But they're innocent up to that point. I got shot between the eyes with a Nerf gun yesterday. And stung a little bit. But they're innocent, and they're always looking into themselves. They are, because they don't know anything different. They make everything in their world about them, don't they? Little kids just do that. It's remarkable. How many times do you ever hear a five-year-old protest, it's not fair? Yeah, it's true. They tell you what they want right out. I mean, they have no filter, usually. They're totally under the impression that it's all about them. Now, let me ask you something, you adults, some of you with gray hair. Oh, yeah, you, Wayne, especially. Speaking of gray hair, I have to tell you this little side story. I'm going to stop tell you the side story, and then I'll get back to it. I was thinking about Veterans Day this year. This coming June, it will be 40 years that I signed up going to the Navy. 40 years. I looked in the mirror, I was like, golly, you're old. Don't feel old, but that's kind of crazy, isn't it? But how many of you revert back to that same style of thinking as five-year-olds? How many of you do that? How many of you make it about you? And you're saying, make what about me? Make everything about you. Yeah. How many of you do it? Be honest. How many of you do it? Yeah. Yeah. The rest of you are lying. We all say it's not fair. For me, it's that trip to work that brings out that little kid. I'll be talking to Donna on the phone, hands free. It's legal. Huh? I'll be saying, I don't want to go to work. Why can't I win the Powerball? Probably ought to buy a ticket. But I want to make it all about me. I do make it all about me sometimes. Is that okay? Or is that wrong? Well, while I'm whining into her ear, what is she hearing? We haven't been married that long. She's still listening. There's more to think about than just me. I tell her when I get a hold of myself, you're worth it. You're worth me going to work. And I'm shutting up. And I'm just going to do it. Because you know what? It ain't about me. It's not. Really, it's not. And I get to feeling sorry for myself. Oh, you know, because my body aches. But you know what? I'm lucky my body aches. Some people don't have that privilege anymore. So I'll take those aches and pains. I'll take those funny looks in the mirror, because who is that guy anyway? Because I don't recognize him anymore. I'll take all of that. I'll stop whining about going to work. My attitude should be that I'm blessed to have Donna for my partner in life and happy to have the job that I have. Really. Seriously. We make a lot of whining noises as we live our lives, don't we? Oh, it's bad. It's bad. If you look at that little cross over there with those cards, there's some tags under there that Donna and I put up. Not one of them has us on it, because it's not about us, right? No, it's not. I want to dig a little bit deeper with you while we're going on our little journey. Does our attitude stink when it comes to other aspects of our lives, our relationships? Are we selfish in how we work with, live with, interact with, and worship with other people? So shut up, Ed. You're getting on my nerves, man. Does our attitude suck? Can I say that? Most of the time it does, guys. Most of the time it does. We get off kilter. Is that normal? Well, I'm going to tell you that it is. It's normal. It's not okay. What if our attitude is out of kilter when it comes to how we interact with God? Whoa. Whoa. That's serious, isn't it? Other people are bad enough, right? You make your wife mad enough, Butch, and you'll find out. But you make God mad. That's a serious thing, right? So what if our attitudes are out of kilter with God? What do we do? We have to refocus. We have to push the reset button. We have to start over, don't we? Wait. Let me start this day over again, right? Yeah. A readjustment is in order. I need one too. When I was sitting there writing this, I was hating the stuff that I said in her ear while I was driving to work. Man, I'm a whiner. I've got the wrong attitude. Yeah. So I need a readjustment. I think you probably need a readjustment, and I know where to find it. It's in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Ephesians is awesome. Do you like the Bible? Well, get into Ephesians and read, man. Wow. There's a lot to be had there. Let's dig in this morning. Let's read a little bit, shall we? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, is who wrote this. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his greeting. Beautiful words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You are chosen. Good reason to smile, isn't it? You are chosen to be holy and blameless in the sight of God. All the guilt and stuff that Satan throws at you, toss it out. Christ did already. Toss it out. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, and bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Can you understand all that? Do you really take all of that in? I don't. I don't pretend to understand every spiritual nuance in that writing. It's amazing. It's deep. Don't stress over it. Take it in and smile. You know what it says? God loves you. God has blessed you. God has forgiven you. He has chosen you. You are already blessed in the heavenly realms. You just haven't gotten there yet. Seriously. You are the kingdom of God. You just haven't taken that step into eternity yet. Or have you? Oh, you did. When you accepted Jesus. Oh, you did. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Wow. Why are you so quiet? Say amen or something. Amen. Thank you, God, for saving us, for giving us this beautiful gift. Why are we quiet in church? Why are we sitting here on our tail ends, not feeling it? Oh man, liven up. God is real. Yeah. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Don't stop praying either. God answers you. Yeah, he will. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Hallelujah.
What a presence that we should have. What a gift that we've been given. How should our attitudes be in light of that? Yeah. Should you be smiling? You should never stop smiling. Should you be happy about it? Well, yeah. Why are we somber in church? Why are we quiet? Is it a habit? Is it just what we've always done? Maybe that's not okay. Maybe when these guys are up here singing, we ought to really be celebrating. I was listening to you do vocals a little bit ago. I was harmonizing and I was like, whew, crying. One eye. I don't know why. One eye was crying. The other one wasn't. Donna leaned over. You okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I don't know what's going on with this, but I'm fine. It was beautiful. I loved it. You guys are amazing. Very talented. Very talented. Beautiful voices. We're not finished. We're not finished reading, and we're not finished celebrating. Are you ready to do more? Let's read. Let's take this in. Let's explore. Let's look in here and kick out the negative, because the negative is from somewhere you don't want to be. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. Yeah. By grace. Not by works. If it were by works, what would we have? Nothing. Yeah. Yeah, I'd be on fire up here not talking to you. Yeah. Seriously. We're blessed beyond reason. We have everything given to us that we need. Everything. And we whine about things. Really? Seriously? It's not fair. Good thing it's not fair. If it was fair, we'd be going to hell, people. Right? Read the word. Yeah, if life was fair, we would be condemned. Thank God life isn't fair. Rejoice because life isn't fair. We're going to heaven because Jesus Christ took what wasn't fair on his own self. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. He ought to be the one whining. I did what for Ed? Are you kidding me? Yeah. 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 It is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are created in Christ Jesus. You're the handiwork of him. How can you whine? How can you cry? How can you say it's not fair and be all down? Look up. God's here. And he's saying, my child, I love you. What more could you ask? I want to read one more thing. Paul continued this. You ever read the 3:16s in the Bible? John 3:16 is pretty famous. Read the other 3:16s. It's interesting. 3:16 in Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a writing from the hand of God for us to celebrate with today. Yeah. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Think that over. You can't even take this all in, can you? It's scary. I don't like your phone. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. The word of God. I didn't make it up. I just read it to you. I didn't tell you how awesome you are in the sight of God. He did. How can you not celebrate? How can you not feel good about being a child of God? Right. Yeah. Don't be so quiet. It's okay to make noise in church. I swear to you, it is. Not even supposed to swear. I swear to you, it is. It's okay to make noise in church. God loves for his children to give him praise. It's okay. It's okay. Now, if I've read this prayer for the church at Ephesus, and even us today properly, it's obvious that we should be having a major celebration every time we think about how God loves us, right? Yeah. Not feeling sorry for ourselves because we've got to go to work or whatever. Whatever's going on in our lives. This should surpass it, trump it, shut it down. Yeah, no matter what's going on. God loves me that much, it's going to be okay. No matter what, it's going to be okay. If your church time isn't the most exciting part of your week, you're the problem, not God. I'm serious. If this is bad, it's you. It is. It really is. Think that over. Think it over. Yeah. Take that in. Assimilate that information. Yeah. It's not the speaker that's too happy, sad, old, young, boring, or whatever else is wrong. It isn't the masks that we had to wear. It isn't the leadership. It's every one of us that chooses to make this time about themselves or this time about celebrating God. Right? Yeah. So what is our problem? Oh, we've made it about us. It's about him. And you're his child. It don't get any better. It don't get any better. No. We need to take this time every week to contemplate God's grace. That ought to be the first thing we do. Right? And church, celebrating about God ought to be exciting. It ought to be exciting enough that people follow you to find out what kind of insanity you're getting here. Yeah. It ought to be contagious, man. Yeah. The exciting news that I have for you today is that God is real and alive, and He has beautiful things in store for you, and He hears your prayers, and He loves you, and He's going to answer those prayers in His time and in accordance with His will. In the past year alone, I've seen His hand moving over and over just because of prayer from me. And it's not that I'm Superman or anything. I'm nothing. I'm not worth anything. I don't know why He loves me, but He does. I don't know why He answers my prayer, but He does. I've watched Him do it. I've watched Him heal family. I've watched Him take care of things that I thought, well, here you go, God, because it's hopeless. And He took things and made it okay. Yeah. How can I not celebrate? And how can I feel sorry for myself? It's too easy to ignore how awesome God is. You know, the nation of Israel wandered in the desert for years, and God was raining manna out of the sky and feeding them. And they're like, "Man, it's all we get is manna." So, all right, fine. Just give them quail. "Man, we're sick of manna and quail." Wow. Right? Eventually, God got mad, and He sent serpents. Yeah, and the snakes were biting the nation of Israel. Yeah, was not a pleasant thing. Don't make God mad. Okay. You ought to read that, really. Yeah, get out the Old Testament, start in Exodus, and just read about it. It's wicked how humanity tends to make it about themselves and forget who God is and how amazing He is and how much He provides. And how much He loves. What did they really need? Manna. They whined, and He's like, "Okay, I love you. So here's some quail." Wah. Golly. And we're doing that too. Oh. So what does all this mean for you and I? We have to make it mean something today, don't we? It's really important that all of us leave here today with a very different focus and heart. But I don't want you to think that I'm here to beat you up and tell you, hey, you're wrong, and this is what you need to do different, because that's not what I'm about. I'm about letting the Word of God teach you, because that's the important thing. All right, my word means nothing. God's word carries some weight, doesn't it? Yeah, learned that over the years. So I'm going to give you one more body of Scripture to take with you. Okay? You're going to find that in Matthew 25. This is a familiar Scripture to some, probably. It's one of those that I laugh about because I'll tell you the awful truth. When I was growing up, we had goats, and I hate goats. I do. And this Scripture backs that up all the way. Just want you to know that in Matthew 25, God's word says goats are going to hell. Okay, just letting you know. Jesus Christ was teaching. He said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left." Donna, you wondered why I put you on the right. Okay. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he'll say to those on his left, the goats, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. You can't make it all about you. You have to make it all about him. And what that does, when you do that, it brings about action. Shoeboxes? Could that be part of that? Yeah, action. Every little action matters. These matter. Every little one that picks one of these up, it's going to matter. Right? Yeah. Every time you feed somebody, you ever buy somebody's food in the drive-thru ahead of you or whatever, or behind you? Yeah, just check that out. You ever buy some veteran's meal at a restaurant? Blows their mind. Sometimes you just do things because you're celebrating Christ in you. Sometimes you just do things because it's sweet and beautiful and that's how you're supposed to do it. If you're worried about it, how it affects you and how it's not fair and how you don't want them, you're not going to be doing those things, are you? You see how important it is not to be five anymore? You see how it's okay to be almost 58 or whatever we are, right? So, yeah, Wayne's thinking, you're young. I know, yeah. I love it when people call me young man. Keep lying, I like it. Our lives are not to be about us. We are to live day by day, touching people's lives in a way that reflects our God's love and grace. Right? So what are we going to do when we leave here today? Well, don't just sit there all still. We're going to rock this world with God's love. That's what we're going to do. We're going to live in response to His grace. We're going to do things in response to His presence in our lives. We're going to be different kind of people. We're not going to be sitting there saying, oh, life sucks. Because life is beautiful. Amen. He's given you these amazing gifts in your life. Yeah. Spread it around. Amen. That's all you have to do. Spread it around. Don't hold it in. Give it. He'll keep supplying if you keep giving. If you keep grabbing, you can't grab any more to pass it on. You know what I'm saying? Give of God in your lives. Let's celebrate, shall we? Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this day that you've given us, for this ability that we have, that we can celebrate you, that we can come before you, that we can be joyful, that we can stop putting ourselves in the way and put you up front. I thank you for all the blessings that you've given me, for the ability that you've given me to speak your word, to repeat what this says. I pray, Father, that these boxes here in front of me will be blessed by your hand, that you will touch each one that receives one in a special kind of way. I thank you for the people that are giving of you already, and I pray that you'll empower them to do more and to be more joyful and to be loud and proud of you as their God and Savior. And I thank you for this church and this beautiful family, and I pray that you'll bless them all, protect them from Satan, and keep them healthy. In Jesus' name, amen.